Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sports Talk with CJ and Jordan. I am CJ Milano. Sitting beside me is Mr. Jordan Salomon. How are you, Jordan?
Well, welcome back, everybody. Today we'll be talking some Mets and Yanks. Is the Mets season really over? Should they sell? Should they buy? We'll be talking some NBA draft. Is Kyrie Irving going to be a Net? Let's get things going.
Well, we welcome you all back to Sports Talk. It is episode 5. We are picking up from about a year ago. What has decided us, we've made the decision to come back after attending a Subway Series game together. We were on our way to game one of the Subway Series this past week, and we were on the subway. It was 6:30, and they had called the game. I had told everyone on the subway, the game's over, the game's not happening today. No one believed me. Eventually, they did, and we ended up getting off. Luckily, at Central Park, walk all the way back. Got Chipotle, came home, and decided to make episode 5. So are you happy about that decision, Jordan? Do you think it was a good one?
It was a disappointing day. Yankees decided to call the game half an hour before it started, and Chipotle had no ice, so disappointing all the way around.
It was a bad day. It was just a bad day in the books, but we had a pretty good day the next one. The Yankees won, and the Mets won the second game, so we were all good there. Jordan, have you been? How's life been?
I've been well. A successful first year in college as a communications major.
Let's remind everyone where you're going.
I go to Rowan University. It's a school in South Jersey. And things have been good since we left you guys last June.
Okay, that's wonderful. I am currently at Fairleigh Dickinson. I am studying hospitality. Still going well. I am working full-time at Bay Head Yacht Club this summer as a manager in training. Hopefully we'll get some pickleball started in the coming weeks. So we decided it would be a great idea to add a new segment to the show, and we will be kind of overviewing the past week in sports. But since we haven't seen you, or you haven't heard us, in about a year, I am going to give a little recap in about a minute over what happened in New York sports this past year. So here we go. Jordan is getting out the timer. It's just a little nerve-wracking. I timed it myself. I think it's maybe a little bit over a minute, but not much. Here it is. Let's just say this past year hasn't been one of trophies, ticker tape, parades, and rings like it was for, let's say, Boston, who the Yankees fell to in 4 games in the 2018 ALDS. The Sox went on to win the World Series as a battered Yankees team has their eyes in the same ring this year. The team, just a subway ride away, crawled to the finish of 2018, and looks hopeful this season, despite lack of management and trust in a bullpen. The Giants drafted a franchise quarterback, possibly, while the Jets bulked up defense in the draft and picked up one star Le'Veon Bell. But the Lombardi Trophy may still be far away for both of Snoopy's teams. In Manhattan, the Knicks are, well, cursed. Probable potential would-be Nick, Kevin Durant, is out for all of next season. The lotto makes it impossible to bring Zion to the team, as the Nets will try to make the playoffs this year, once again, just as they did last. Both the Devils and Rangers are looking on the up and up after being granted first and second round draft picks, respectively, as the team from Long Island, or Brooklyn, looks to make it past round 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. New York sports may not be thriving, but are surely building to be thriving soon.
Well, that was a minute 15 seconds.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
What'd you think of it?
Not bad. You know, it was accurate.
This was definitely
Boston's year. They won the Super Bowl. They won they almost won the Stanley Cup.
What a terrible Super Bowl. Boring.
Yeah. They made the playoffs in basketball, lost in the second round, and they won the World Series. The Red Sox had a phenomenal season last year. And even though the Red Sox aren't performing as they would hope to this year, I still think they're a team to watch out for. They're still very talented.
If they make the playoffs, which they probably will, they are a team to look out for. I think 3 teams are going from the AL East. I think you're going to see the Yankees, you're going to see the Rays, and you're going to see the Sox. I think the Yankees will win the division. As of now, it looks like the Rays have the first wild card, Red Sox have the second. But I think you could see the Red Sox sneak up. They're not far behind. I believe they're only 5 or 6 games out at this point of first place.
And they were, like last week, they were really struggling. They were only at 500. Now they're 5 games over. They've won six out of their last four. They're playing a lot better.
They're going to compete for first place.
The American League is a very interesting league this year. Minnesota has been like otherworldly. They're 20 games over 500. And Texas, even, they're five games over. No one saw that coming at the beginning of the season.
No, and that's how it is. I mean, otherwise you've seen sort of the same thing happening, and we thought maybe the National League East would put on a better performance, but they just haven't.
Well, Atlanta's been one of the best teams.
Atlanta's been good.
They've been great.
Atlanta's been good. I predicted the Braves were going to be good last year. I said they're going to make the playoffs. They did. So that was good. I mean, I think they're going to be good for a very long time. Yeah. But hopefully the Mets are able to pick it up. And that brings us to our next topic. Do the Mets buy or sell?
Well, the Mets, they have as good of a core as any team in baseball. Any team. Their homegrown talent is as good as the Yankees. They have Dom Smith, who's hitting .348 right now. And not so small sample size. He's hitting .348 with a .448 on base. This guy, he's only 24 years old, and he finally came into his own. He's a legit talent. He's been playing left field because he's blocked at first by Pete Alonso. And Pete Alonso, he has 24 home runs, hitting .274. His WAR is up to 3. He's on pace to shatter the Mets home run record, which is 41. He's on pace at over 50. He's going to be an all-star at first base. He's just, you couldn't have asked for anything better from Pete Alonso. You have Jeff McNeil, who's following up his season last year where he hit .330 in limited playing time at the end of the year. He's now hitting .333 this season with a plus .400 on base. He's the spark plug in that Mets lineup. He's been great. Then you have Conforto, who's finally putting together a consistent year where he's staying healthy. He's staying on the field. He currently has 14 home runs. His on base is .384. His OPS is .890. He's been everything Mets fans have hoped for. But
so where are the wins?
The wins are not there because the Mets have the most horrible bullpen I've ever witnessed in my entire life. They signed Jeurys Familia this offseason, which I, at the time, thought was a great signing. I liked Familia. I liked Familia when he was with the Mets the first time, despite some big blown saves in the playoffs. I liked that signing a lot. I thought Familia would come in. He'd be a shutdown eighth inning man for Edwin Diaz in the ninth. This season, in 27 and two-thirds innings pitched, Familia has a 7.81 ERA. He was put on the injured list yesterday. But before that, not only has he been a disappointment, he has not been a major league pitcher. It doesn't look like he belongs on a major league mound. He can't throw strikes. When he does throw strikes, they get hit a long way. He's been horrible to watch. And over in the month of in the past month, the Mets have blown 12 blown saves. They've had 12 blown saves in the past month. Think about how many games are played in a month. Less than 30. They've blown 12 saves. Think about how many wins the Mets would have if they didn't have this horrible bullpen. And this is an offseason where the Mets traded their best prospect, Jarred Kelenic, who's currently a top 20 prospect in all of baseball, for Robinson Cano, who has been horrible by himself. He's been good since he came off the injury list. But the big piece in that trade was Edwin Diaz, who supposedly was the best closer in all of baseball. But this season, he's 1-4 with a .377 ERA. That isn't going to cut it. If the Mets needed Edwin Diaz to be the best closer, and they needed Cano to produce at the level he was producing at a couple years ago for that trade to be worth it.
So, in this game, in this new, ever-changing game, do you believe that the bullpen is now more important than starting pitching?
I'm still going to say no, because the frustrating thing about this season is the Mets lineup has been good. The Mets rotation has been pretty good. Vargas is even having a great year. His ERA is below 4. No one would have saw that coming before the year. DeGrom's been outstanding of late, despite some struggles at the beginning of the season. Syndergaard's been putting it back together. Mats has been pretty solid. But all these Mets pitchers are going deep into games. But then they hand it off to the bullpen, and they have no chance if they don't have at least a sixth run.
So the bullpen is so important.
The bullpen, yes. The bullpen is important because every year the bullpen is being relied on more and more because starters are failing to go deep into games.
And this is the Mets. I mean,
and the Mets rotation is their starters go deeper into games than any other team in all of baseball. Not
absolutely.
A, because they can. They have players like DeGrom, Syndergaard, Mats who are able to go deep into games, but B, because Mickey just can't go to that bullpen. there's the only member of that bullpen that I trust, that I'm like, he's in the game, I trust he's going to have a good inning, is Seth Lugo. Only one. Even Edwin Diaz, he's hard to watch.
That's extremely difficult. You know, I have to say, that short subway right away into the Bronx, the bullpen has been absolutely spectacular. Their starting pitching has been lackluster, and we are struggling to find a true ace on the Yankees team. But the bullpen has allowed the Yankee team to win many games and their strong lineup. So the Mets have that strong lineup. They have the strong starting pitching, but the bullpen is what's causing them to stress, and that's the reason they're losing games. You see, the Yankees struggle in the starting pitching realm, but they're still able to win games. The starting pitching could keep them in.
It helps when you can pick anybody off the street. Who heard of Gio Urshela before this? You're a diehard Yankee fan. Did you know on opening day who Gio Urshela was?
I didn't know who he was.
Brian Cashman was walking. He was walking to work one day, saw this guy just standing on the street. He's like, "Hey, you. Do you want to play for the Yankees?" He was like, "Yeah, okay, I guess so." That's probably what Gio said. Now he's hitting like 380.
Listen, and these guys like Gio Urshela and, Luke and Voigt, Cameron Maben. And
Luke Voigt, you pick up for nothing. He has, 18, 19 home runs this year?
He's been spectacular.
He's been great.
Greg Bird is out of the equation. You don't even talk about him anymore. Who knows? Sitting at home?
Cameron Maben,
I don't know.
Was good at the beginning of his career. He's been horrible, absolutely horrible the last few years. He comes to the Yankees. He's hitting 315 with a 387 on base. He's hit four home runs in his last five games. Last four games. Anyway, they put on the Yankee uniform, they turn into Hall of Famers. If they put on the... It's vice versa with the Mets. They put on a Met uniform. Edwin Diaz was one of the best, the best closer in baseball last year. Puts on a Mets uniform, and he has a near four ERA. He's blowing saves left and right. You can't trust him.
This is the classic crying of the Mets fan.
The Mets fans deserve to cry because they signed Yoenis Cespedes for a long-term contract, which Mets fans were happy about that, including myself, because Cespedes was amazing. We needed to resign him. He was our best player. Since then, he's been absolutely horrible. He's been fine on the field, but he hasn't been on the field because instead of playing baseball, he's on his ranch taking violent falls off horses.
Yoenis is gone. He's gone. They have to face that now.
The Mets signed Jed Lowry, which was a good signing. He was a great player last year. He had a +4 WAR. He was very good. He got MVP votes in the American League last year. He has not... I don't know if he exists. He might not be alive anymore. The Mets, he hasn't stepped foot onto Citi Field. And he's not close to stepping foot on Citi Field.
No. Again, stricken with the injury sort of infestation that happens every single year in Queens. So do the Mets, do they buy? Do they sell? Are they still in this thing?
I think they're still in it. I mean, they can't. I don't see them going anywhere with this current bullpen. If they're going to sell, I don't really know who they would sell because a lot of their good players are young and controllable, like Pete Alonso, like Jeff McNeil, Michael Conforto, Dom Smith, and they're not trading DeGrom. You could trade Syndergaard if you get a good package back. I don't see them trading Mats. Maybe somebody wants Vargas. Wheeler would be the guy that you would say, okay, he makes a lot of sense. His numbers aren't great this year, but... I could see a team wanting him. He's a free agent after this year. I could see Zach Wheeler going. Wilson Ramos has been very good offensively this year, but it's pretty obvious that he can't catch. He's a horrible defensive catcher. I could see a team maybe taking Wilson Ramos. But other than that, I think what the Mets should do is they should not rebuild but retool because they still have a core on this team that can win. They can win with this core of Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Jacob DeGrom.
Yes, and I believe that. I believe that to be true.
Get players that can win next year, then just build. It's not hard. Theo Epstein, the president of the Cubs, once said, I can build a bullpen in one offseason. So let's see how true that is. Build a bullpen, and this team can be right back in it next year.
So Syndergaard, let's make an artificial trade with the Yankees. Syndergaard, for who do you want? What value is there?
Syndergaard still needs to bring back a premium player.
Okay, like who? You said you want a bullpen arm.
I need more than a bullpen arm back for.
You want a bullpen arm plus a you know...
It would need to be a bullpen arm plus a Clint Frazier. And even...
A Clint Frazier. So you do Clint Frazier...
He got sent down to Florida this week.
So who else?
I don't know the Yankees farm system offhand.
So I'm not talking farm hands. I'm talking guys that are in the Yankees bullpen right now.
I'm not just going to trade Syndergaard for relief pitchers.
What if we gave you Adam Ottavino and Clint Frazier, and then we got Syndergaard?
I just don't see that happening, because I think that the Yankees, if they're trading for a starting pitcher, they're not trading Adam Ottavino. They want Adam Ottavino to help them win a World Series this year.
Yes, they do. We do, but we have an excess of bullpen. It seems to be Brian Cashman's obsession to get more bullpen.
Also,
like it seems to be his obsession to get more right-handed power hitting.
The Mets and Yankees have been known to not like to trade with each other.
No.
And I just don't see Noah Syndergaard getting traded to the Yankees. Maybe the Mets would be strong enough to trade Wheeler to the Yankees, but they don't want to trade Noah Syndergaard to the New York Yankees. I don't think Jeff and Fred Wilpon would be able to watch Thor suit up for the Yankees.
I would love it. I would love to see Syndergaard in the true pinstripes in the Bronx. May not happen, but you know, I think you guys could get some very decent players. If I was Brian Cashman, I would be willing to say here, Andujar, take a chance on him.
The Mets second here, where is Andujar going to play?
You find a spot for him. You have to take the Yankees. Thought of mind, and the Yankees say, "Oh, well, where's he going to play? It doesn't matter. We're going to take him."
If
someone gets hurt, if someone goes down, just like it always happens in the Mets organization,
Ty Frazier, take him after this year. So third base, I guess third base isn't going to be open though, because the Mets are still going to have Cano next year, and then McNeil will slide over to third. So I don't really see an opening for Andujar, and he can't play defense. And the Mets have been another thing. Not only has the bullpen been horrible this year, the Mets' defense has been putrid. Because they have. In left field, they have a lot of nights. They have Dom Smith and J.D. Davis playing in left, who are very nice offensive players, especially Dom Smith, who I touched on earlier. J.D. Davis is also a very solid offensive player, but neither him or Smith are good defensively in left field. They're not outfielders, they're infielders. They have guys playing out of position. They have guys playing their correct positions who aren't good at their positions. Amed Rosario, who came up, who is supposed to be one of the best shortstops defensively, he can't catch the ball. Or throw the ball. Not to mention, he can't get on base. So, he's been very frustrating to watch. The Mets' defense needs to be better.
I think about a year ago, you guys were very excited
and
about that guy who's playing
short. Rosario, he goes through these streaks.
I mean, you said he was going to be amazing. It was a year ago,
he's
on
still
episode
only,
3.
He's still only 22 years old. And he goes through these streaks. He might be 23. I'll have to check that. But he's either 22 or 23 years old. He goes through these streaks where he's hitting the ball great, and you're like, wow, this guy is pretty good offensively. Like, not to mention, he has 8 home runs this year, which is on pace to hit around 20. Like,
it's good. All these guys are hitting more home
which
runs.
Which is an epidemic around baseball. Ketel Marte, who's not a power hitter for the Arizona Diamondbacks, has over 20 home runs.
I say in one episode, we just step in. Like I said it on the train.
We steal
we're
baseball.
Cut into a
cut
baseball.
Open a baseball.
We're cutting into a baseball from 10 years ago and now. We'll take a 2009 baseball.
I don't know what to look
baseball.
For in these balls.
We're going to cut it in half, and we're going to look what's inside. We're going to figure this out. I'm going to research the hell out of this to figure out if it's even possible to juice a baseball. Everyone says, oh, they juice the baseball, they juice baseball. And these sports shows, just like ours, have segments where they say, oh, are they doing it? Are they not doing it? And then people say, yes, they're not doing it. No, they're not doing it. We're getting to the bottom of it. This is how we're going to get back to the top of New York sports talk. We're going to figure out if they're actually doing this. We're going to scientifically prove it. Maybe we'll even bring a scientist or a science. We could get a science major on the show. We could find someone who can look inside these baseballs and figure out what's going on for sure.
Aiden Sweeney used to be a science major.
Okay, he used to be. So the man we used to have behind the glass, we'll have him back on. And we'll have him look at these baseballs and figure out exactly what's going on there. Because obviously, something may be going on. There's even reports of pitchers not even getting the correct amount of spin on their ball. Yeah. Their balls aren't moving the way they always used to. So I'm sure we can figure
Aiden
out something.
Aiden took bio, I think. I don't know how long he lasted in that class, but we can have him on.
Okay.
All right, so the Yankees traded for Edwin Encarnacion. Confused a lot of guys, a lot of fans when they traded for him, because they already had a first baseman who's been killing the ball this year. Luke Voit, despite him not being the best first baseman in New York. But,
Defensively, he's gotten a lot better.
But offensively, And Luke Voit's numbers are not nearly as good as Pete Alonso's.
His numbers aren't good as Alonso, but like you said, it's still early in the season. We'll see what happens at the end of the season. I think both teams, which is very, I'm very happy about it. I don't hate the Mets. I'm very happy that the Mets have found a good first baseman. I'm very happy that they have someone who they can play at first, who they can trust. You know, that's good. That's good. All right, congratulations.
So anyway, Edwin Carcion, confusing trade, but like, this Yankees lineup, especially when they get Judge back. They just got Stanton back yesterday. This Yankees lineup, it's not fair. Like, everyone in that lineup could hurt you.
There is no weak point.
Who's hitting ninth now? Glaber is hitting ninth, right?
Yeah.
And he's a guy that can hit 25-plus home runs.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You know, guys are saying, well, we still have Maben. We still have Gardner. Like, and Gardner can produce every once in a while. Maben's been producing right now.
You sent down Clint Frazier, who's he's been having good offensive numbers this year.
Clint Frazier's been sent back down to Scranton. I won't be surprised if they try to get rid of him soon. He does not have the Yankees swagger about him. He has his own little thing going on. He does not know how to actually behave within the clubhouse, on the field, with the media. So I won't be surprised if the Yankees do ship him off someplace.
This is the Yankees projected lineup starting pitching with Judge and Stanton in it, with including Carcion. You have LeMahieu leading off. He's a plus 300 hitter. I don't know why people are surprised that LeMahieu's having such a great year.
He may be the top free agent pickup of the year, of the offseason.
But I don't understand why people are surprised about this, because he's always been good.
Yeah, but over Machado, over...
No, I'm not saying that...
He may be the top free agent pickup.
But what I'm saying is, I don't know why people are surprised that LeMahieu's having such a good year. This has always been the player he's been.
Because he wasn't going to play every day for the Yankees, and now he is.
But I'm not surprised by him. And you have Judge, who's coming back. He has potential to hit 45 to 50 home runs. You have Luke Voit, who already has 19 home runs this year. He's going to go over 35 at least this year. Then you have Stanton, who, as we've seen, can hit 60 in a season.
Yes.
Sanchez right now is over 20. He's going to go over 35
home runs. It looks like Sanchez is back, yes, which I'm very happy to see.
Yes. Then you have Hicks, who's having a little bit of a down year, but he can still hurt you. He was good last year. And Carcion, who they just traded for it at the DH, hitting seventh. This guy leads the American League in home runs, and he's hitting seventh on the Yankees.
Yes.
Then you have Didi, who's been out most of the year, but he's back.
He could be spectacular.
Spectacular last year. Then you have Glaber hitting ninth.
That's like an all-star lineup.
That is an all-star lineup.
It's an all-star lineup, and I'm very happy that we have it. But where's the lefty power? The classic New York Yankees lefty power. Why did we get Edwin Encarnacion? It makes absolutely no sense. Brian Cashman says, well, we didn't need him, but it makes us better. No, it doesn't make you better. You know what it adds? It adds a hell of a lot of strikeouts. Maybe it adds a home run here and there, but you're getting rid of guys.
This game is about... we're not watching the same game that we were watching in 2015, where you would see games end 2-1, 3-2, 1-0, especially what I was watching in 2015 with the Mets. There can be an 8-4 game in the eighth inning. It's not over until nine innings. Any team
absolutely
can hit home runs.
Absolutely.
I've seen, how many times have we seen back-to-back-to-back home runs this year? I've seen at least a few times this year there's been back-to-back home runs.
Yeah.
Back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely something we're going to investigate with the juice ball situation. Yes. But my issue is that, you know, the Yankees, beginning of the season, without Giancarlo, without Judge, their strikeout numbers have gone down. And I'm not saying that their home run numbers have gone down, but they've had more men on base.
You can't count on guys like Shiu Urshela to be hitting 320 all year.
I'm not saying he's going to hit 320 all year, but I know he's going to get up, and I know he may give a better at-bat than Encarnacion's going to give a lot of the time.
I'm not
saying he's going to be better, period, but, you know, obviously Encarnacion's a much better player than Gio Urshela, and I'm not arguing that. But I'm saying that Gio Urshela is valuable in the Yankees lineup, where there's more Encarnacion's than Urshela's
in the lineup. This is a good point, because a lot of Mets fans argue, who's the best hitter on the Mets? Pete Alonso or Jeff McNeil? Jeff McNeil, you have confidence that he's going to put the ball in play. He doesn't strike out very often. Two strikes, he chokes up. He puts the ball in play and somehow always finds grass. Somehow he always gets it. He doesn't hit the ball where people are standing. Or Pete Alonso, who every time he's up, you expect him to hit a home run. Do you prefer power? Do you prefer base hits?
This is the game that is moving towards power. But you can't have too much of anything on your lineup.
Yeah.
It's not good. You need a healthy power balance. Of course.
You need a healthy balance.
And the Yankees got rid of that when they got Encarnacion.
Looking at this,
you have another righty guy.
But looking at that lineup that I just said,
and he strikes out.
Looking at the Yankee lineup that I just stated, LeMahieu, he's a contact batter. Judge, power hitter. Voit, power hitter. Stanton, power hitter.
Right.
Sanchez, power hitter. Hicks, I would say he's a power hitter.
Yeah.
More than a contact hitter.
Yeah.
Encarnacion, power hitter. Didi, what would you say Didi is?
Didi can be a power hitter. He's a little bit of a both. He's a twofer, which is beautiful. I like Didi in that lineup. He's not.
Glaber is, I would say, he's leaning power.
Leaning power, but...
But still, there's one guy in that lineup who are like...
Who can get on base. Hitter. Who can get on
if
base.
Base is loaded, one out, get the run in. Or runner
whenever
third,
there's
one out,
runners
run
in scoring position, you, DJ LeMahieu is your guy to get them.
Yeah, he's been outstanding
absolutely.
This year at the runners on
absolutely.
Base.
Absolutely. They need, you know, more guys like that. Encarnacion's a great player. I'm not saying that he's not a great player. And I'm not saying that, Gio Urshela is a better player than... No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that Encarnacion does not have a spot on this Yankees lineup. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but...
It's putting too much power in them, and it's putting too many strikeouts.
Encarnacion's a DH.
Power comes strikeouts.
So, let's say you're down one in the seventh inning, runner first and third, one out. Down one in the seventh. Let's say down one in the eighth, and you have a hard-throwing relief pitcher, and Encarnacion comes up, and you have Urshela sitting on your bench. Would you want to pinch hit Urshela for Encarnacion to have that guy up who you trust to put the ball in play over a power hitter like Encarnacion?
When
you just need one run, and there's a runner in third with one out.
Do you do that? I don't know. That's certainly a tough call. That's a tough call for Aaron Boone. That's why he gets paid the big bucks. But I'd be tempted because, to be honest, Encarnacion's going to strike out more times than he's going to, you know, put a ball in play. Where Urshela, you know, may get the pop fly to sacrifice him in.
Let's say there's a day where Urshela is playing instead of Encarnacion. Encarnacion's getting a night off, and Urshela comes up in the eighth inning, and the Yankees are down two, and there's two men on. And he comes up. Then in that situation, you would want to pinch it Encarnacion for Urshela. This Yankees team has a lot of places that can hurt you now.
Absolutely, and the bench is spectacular. When Cameron Maben, as hot as he is on your bench, and when Brett Garner's on your bench, to be honest, there's no places where you're really going to be pinch hitting guys.
Yeah, especially in the American League game.
In the American League game, you're not going to really be pinch hitting guys in this lineup. Like I said, it's an all-star lineup. But what you may want to do is pinch a run.
And Gardner can still run. Maben can still run.
Maben has wheels. The oldest guys on the team can really
Not to mention...
And they have spectacular defense.
The defense, as I can attest to this, as being a Mets fan, watching the Mets play putrid defense every night, defense is a very important thing that people take for granted in baseball. And not to mention with the Yankees, yes, we mentioned that the rotation is lackluster, but... If you're losing to the Yankees after six innings, it's hard to beat them when you have Ottavino coming in. Betances at some point is going to come back before the playoffs. Then you have Chapman in the ninth.
Let's just say Giancarlo has just gotten up, and it's the eighth inning. He did whatever he did, and the Yankees are now up by a run. And it's a very important game late in the season, and you have him playing left, and you have Brett Gardner sitting on the bench. You sub in Brett Gardner as a defensive substitute into left field, and you're more confident there. Now, a deep ball to left that Chapman gives up will get in quicker than it would with Stan playing out there. It's a spectacular little flexibility that the Yankees have this year. And I am very excited to see this full team come back because they truly need it to come back. Jordan, we don't have a lot of time, but let's talk a little bit about NBA. Free agency, NBA draft, which is coming up tomorrow night, and then the free agency, which is coming in the following week.
So I'll touch up on the draft real quick. The Knicks have the third overall pick. Looks like they're going to draft RJ Barrett. Looks like Zion's going to go one to the Pelicans. Then Memphis will take Ja Morant at two. Then that will lead RJ Barrett to fall to three to the Knicks. And this draft is very 1-2-3 heavy. Zion obviously is the obvious number one. Ja Morant is a very good point guard that will go two. Then you have RJ Barrett, who's a very good player for Duke. A lot of people before the season thought he would be better than Zion Williamson. And then after three, it really, really falls off. There's not a lot of talent. I mean, there's still good players, but there's not a lot of superstar talent after three. And So then that leads us to free agency. Kevin Durant obviously got hurt in the finals, which is a big blow not only to the Knicks but to the Nets, because the Nets are a team that has two max spots, and it's looking pretty it's Kyrie Irving and his representatives. It's been sounding like Irving is going to be a Net. Like, that seems pretty set in stone at this point, that Irving wants to sign with the Nets. And recently it's been coming out the Nets want to pair a superstar alongside Irving, like Kevin Durant, which could be very interesting.
That'd be amazing. That would bring the Nets to the top of the league.
But Durant won't be playing next year.
Durant will not be playing. So do you take the chance on him? Do the Knicks or the Nets take the chance on him?
If I'm the Nets, I'd be more willing to take the chance on him, because next year you have Irving for the full season. You'll be a playoff team without a doubt. You'll be one of the best teams in the East. And then you get Durant back the year after, and you could really contend for an NBA championship.
Yes, absolutely. But the Knicks don't have good enough luck to say, let's take on Durant, let's let him sit out the entire season in a hospital bed, and then have him back the next season and perform like he did this past year.
One storyline that I think is very interesting is D'Angelo Russell, who was great for the Nets last year. He's still very, very young. If the Nets don't re-sign him, I would be very interested to see if he goes to the Knicks.
He may. Okay, well, let's get into our hots and nots.
You can go first.
So, my not this week, I do not think he will be hot this week, Giancarlo Stanton. I think Giancarlo is going to have a very, very cold week. I think he may hear some boos again in the Bronx. You saw last night it wasn't good, and I think it will continue to be ugly. He doesn't like playing in the rainy weather, which we're going to have a lot of in New York this coming up week, and I just don't see him doing very well.
Well, as much as I hate the New York Yankees, for my fantasy baseball team's sake, I hope you're wrong about that. I hope Stanton has a good week. Have him on fantasy.
I would never have him in fantasy.
But it's my hot for this week is the slugger for the Mets, Pete Alonso. He's been red hot of late. His average has shot up like 20 points the last week and a half. He's hitting home runs on a nightly basis. I think he's going to keep that going. And hopefully the Mets can ride what they did last night. They had a team meeting before the game last night, then came out, won 10-2. Hopefully they can keep that going and hopefully salvage their season.
Well, that would be really nice if they could. This is a very, very big week for the Mets as they face some top teams. And it's also, you know, it's a very big week for the Yankees as well, as they, you know, they have a tough schedule finishing off Tampa tonight and then moving on to Houston still at home. And it's going to really tell us what is going to happen so far in the American League East. So we are going to wrap it up just about here. And next week, we will be talking some more about the Yankees. I'm going to give you a book review of Behind the Empire, the popular Yankees book that came out and gave us quite a bit of insight into what happens behind the scenes. Also, we'll have Jordan, you know, brush up on the NBA draft, where he's going to give grades to all the teams, the New York teams, the Nets and the Knicks. And we're also going to speculate about NBA free agency if we haven't heard anything yet. Aaron Judge will be back on the Yankees as well. See you next week.